Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Judy Joy Jones Show. We are excited today because our show is live from the Expedition, the Book Expo America in New York City on the convention floor. And we are really privileged today to have not only Daily Swan Publishers, but one of Daily Swan authors, and his name is John Ricks, whose book is called Freddie Anderson Chronicles, and I'm going to bring him up right now. He is our co-host. Hello, Sean.
Hi, Judy. This is John.
Hi. How are you doing? Thanks so much for being here. We are so excited. We're going to go ahead and I'm going to tell everyone a little bit about Daily Swan Publishers. Casey Swanson is the owner, CEO and founder of Daily Swan Publishers, and he is going to be offering us some of his authors from his booth. And I met Casey about 4 years ago, and he had one or two authors. Now he's got 21. One of them is a Pulitzer Prize winner, so all I can say is keep your eye on this one, and I am going to go ahead, and I think he's on the line now, and let's see. Hello, Casey.
How are you doing, Judy?
Hi, how are you?
We got through tonight. We're having a wonderful, busy time here at the show. It's been pretty incredible, the response we've had for our authors here.
I can imagine. And you know John Ricks.
Yes, how are you doing, John?
Pretty good, Casey. How you doing?
Good. And I have another John here I want to get on the air pretty quick. This
okay.
is John Baker. He is one of the originals, the founding of CNN. He was right there from the beginning, and he wrote our first nonfiction, which is an intriguing, fun history of the early days of CNN.
I read all about that. What's the name of the book?
That is Chicken Noodle News. And let me put you on the phone here with John Baker.
Okay, great.
Hello.
Hi, John. How are you?
Okay, Judy.
Welcome to the Judy Joy Jones Show. I was just reading all about you and about your book. Now, when is your book going to be available?
I'm told September 1st.
Great. It sounds wonderful. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself, just a brief background, because whatever got you to the point of writing the book?
Well, not to belabor it, but I tried another book titled 40 Years in Television Broadcasting Without Missing a Paycheck. And it was the history that went through my Rather days and the James Brown days and the Hairspray, how it really was, and a bunch of markets. But nobody wanted to buy it because my name wasn't, Dan Rather or, a big name. So Friends told me, why don't I do the CNN book, the last chapter that was in my original. And so with prodding, I started writing it, and that's where it came from.
Wow. You know, I couldn't believe all of your background, and I was just reading about that book. I cannot wait to get my hands on it. I mean, really and truly, from what you said, CNN started from a bunch of people that really didn't know anything or not too much about all that they were going to do for 24 hours a day. Am I correct?
Oh, well, of course it was, because you have to remember that Ted Turner was named, the mouth of the South. And he announced that he was going to do this news network, and everybody laughed at him because he had no journalistic integrity. I mean, in his company, you know, he had the superstation, and he did a lot of baseball games and stuff like that. So the idea of him doing a all-news network was ridiculous to the regular media and the television people in charge at the time of other networks. So the problem was nobody wanted to go to work for CNN because they didn't figure they'd make it. I mean, how can he start a news network and journalists, real journalists, weren't going to come to work there? Because why move their families to a place that everybody felt was going to fail? So what happened, CNN was forced to hire a lot of second-level so-called professionals, people who have been fired from other jobs, a lot of newspaper writers and not television writers, and the whole thing started, on a wing and a prayer, to quote a phrase.
Well, you know, that's how it's all done, and I am going to be the first in line to buy your book because, you know, it intrigues me so much how things are brought about. We all think it goes by a book and academically, but most of these things are started in much different ways. That's why I'm looking forward to your book. How did you find Daily Swan Publishers, by the way?
Actually, my agent, Diane Nye, sent them a proposal, back when, I don't know how long it goes ago. And I understand that they had done nothing but fiction books, and they were thinking of expanding and trying something else, and they liked the idea of my book to be their first nonfiction book. So I guess that's where it all started.
Wow. Yeah, she actually, we had Paula Tutman on our show not long ago, and, you know, I think that really and truly she's out there. She must be working 24 hours a day getting everybody going because she has some really good authors. And whenever your book is actually available for people to buy, I would love for you to be on my show. Would you be willing to do that?
Oh, sure. I'm always ready to talk about the past. As long as I don't have to relive it, I'll talk about it.
That's right. I mean,
it was terribly frustrating as well as being funny and nutso, you know, because not only were the incompetent people there was the dreamers there, you know. And when you got a lot of dreamers and incompetent people together, you know, you got a smorgasbord.
You know, that's the problem. You said it. You get the dreamers and the people that are actually doing it, and you're going crazy. But, just your title. Okay, let's hear it again. What is the title of your book?
Chicken Noodle News.
Chicken Noodle News.
Chicken Noodle News, a CNN whodunit.
Whodunit.
And the title, you can read it in my book, came from a employee of Ted Turner at the time, the superstation, and all the employees in Atlanta were really against this because they thought it was going to fail too, and Ted was going to spend all his money, and they were going to go down the drain, and they would be out of a job. So this person leaked the name Chicken Noodle News to the press and others, and they picked it up. So it came from an employee who didn't want it to start that worked for Ted Turner. So that's where it came from.
So they didn't even want to. Well, you know, the thing about your book, I had this feeling that, you know, most of us really believe that you've got to go to college, get, you know, have the degree. Everything has to be by the book. But what I picked up with you is, nope, not that way at all. You're going to take our minds and blow them open with the way it really is. And
well, yes, it's especially when you have to make adjustments. See, I came from working for Post Newsweek stations. I had a whole background of how television news was to be done. And when I come to the CNN group, I found out that everybody was walking down a different path, you know, because nobody could figure out what to do for 24 hours.
Right.
And no one could agree. So that was part of the problem. There was no plan, you know. You might as
yeah.
well be pinning a tail on a donkey, for God's sake.
You know, that's the thing. We all want the plan. We want it written out so that we don't have to know what to do next, but life is not like that. And, you know, we recently had Paula Tutman on our show, and I got to tell you, you know, she just absolutely blew me away. She worked so hard. Everything I asked for, Paula, you know, she just produced. And I thought, this woman is used to giving and putting out and being the one that gets the news out there. And I'm telling you, John, she made a difference. Because a lot of people that come on my show, they want me to do it all, but not Paula. She just gave and gave and gave. So I guess that comes from being a news reporter.
Well, it's under the pressure you are or what you put on yourself. There was a necessity for people to, you know, work 12 and 15-hour days at CNN at the beginning. And, of course, they never met anybody except
oh.
the people there. And that's why you had, you know, intermarriage, if you want to call it, and everything else, because you didn't meet anybody else. And we blew away the corporate thing about, you know, people who are married can't work in the same company
yeah.
or date or whatever. Hell, we had married anchor people, man and woman. I mean, we had two of them. And, one time we hired an anchor from Denver, I believe, and
mm-hmm.
she wouldn't come because her boyfriend was a tape editor.
Oh.
So we hired him, too.
Just to get her.
Yeah, yeah. Of course.
I mean, you got to do what you got to do. And I'm so glad you're with Daily Swan Publishers, because I really feel like I've known Casey from the beginning, and I've watched him grow, and it's like, whoa, he's really growing. And you got to the right place at the right. What's going on around you at that convention? What do you see? Can you?
Well, it's like going to a sophisticated carnival.
Oh.
You know, with the booths and everything. You know, I haven't seen the naked lady yet or any of that, but I have seen a pretty well organized thing, and it's huge. You know, you could put 15 hockey fields in this place, and it's all lined with different publishers and buyers and stuff like that. And there's a huge crowd coming through all the time. I signed a bunch of the facsimile of the book
yeah.
and everything, and it's just very active and.
A lot of fun. A lot of party going on after the convention when the doors close.
Yeah, well, maybe so.
Maybe
I'll be glad to get back to Atlanta.
Oh, really? Oh, you're Atlanta. Okay, great. That's a good place to be. Well, again, I want to welcome you and offer you a spot on our show the minute your book is going and running, and it will be running, just the title alone. I was really looking at it. I thought, I got to read this. The minute it gets here, I got to read it.
Yeah, once you read it, I'm sure you'll have some questions that I will reluctantly answer because I did write
it. You reluctantly? Don't tell me that,
yes.
John. I like people that aren't so reluctant. So, well, I appreciate you being on, and maybe if you'll let me know whenever you want to be on my show. You've got a welcome spot, date, time, whatever. It's yours. And maybe if I could get Casey back on, and he'll bring on the next author.
Okay. Here, you want me to turn you over to Casey?
All right.
Is it goodbye, or you wanted me to turn you over to Casey?
Yeah.
Okay, Casey.
Thanks, John.
Hey, thanks for coming, John, and staying for it.
He
Look
was
for
great.
For the release of your book in September.
Yeah, it's scrolling past a million people right now. I brought it up. Even though you can't buy it yet, you are going to be able to buy it. Is it September, Casey?
Yeah, it'll be out in September. Right now I have for you somebody with a signing at my table. This
Hi.
Is Will Radcliffe. His book is Nuggle Stones. It's our leading young adult book.
Oh.
And he's right here to talk to you further.
Thank
so,
you.
Judy, here's Will Radcliffe.
Hey. Will?
Hello.
Hi, Will. How are you?
Hi.
So, what is the name of your book?
The name of my book is Nuggle Stones.
Novel Stones. And that's sci-fi or fantasy?
It's a young adult fantasy novel.
Okay.
It's kind of got a unique twist to it in that it's actually based in America in like
uh-huh.
the 19th century.
Uh-huh.
And our world is mixed up with the world of creatures like goblins and ogres and fantasy creatures like that.
Wow. How did you get into that genre? I mean, what was it? Are your parents sci-fi writers, or what was?
Actually, I grew up on a small farm in Indiana, and a lot of the scenery and the kind of area where I grew up inspired a lot of it. And
mm-hmm.
plus, growing up, that was a lot of the kind of fiction that I read. I read a lot of Tolkien and the Narnia series, and I read a lot of comic books growing up, so, you know, it all just kind of blended together to inspire me to write Nuggle Stones.
So, there you are on the convention floor. Are you selling a lot of books?
Yeah, it's going well.
Great.
Going real well.
You know,
yeah, so.
This is the biggest North American convention from what I read, so you should be covered with people all over the floor, right?
Yeah, it's going really well. We've had a lot of positive reaction, gone through quite a few boxes, so.
How did you get to De Lee Swan?
I started out, I actually self-published it at one point.
Hmm.
And from there, I started using the self-published version to shop around to agents and traditional publishers.
Sure.
And I submitted to Shemaine Canton, Shemaine Canton Agency.
Sure.
And one of her readers read it and really, really enjoyed it. And she signed me up. And shortly after that, she got the contract with De Lee Swan. So.
Yeah, she's wonderful. She
absolutely
is. Just she is a hard worker. I've got can't stand up for Shemaine. She's really great. You know, I think it's called hard work. No matter how talented you are, you've got to kind of put the foot out there and work it, right?
Yes, definitely.
Definitely.
Hey, well, this is John.
Yeah, writing the book is just the first part of it, and it's a whole other world after that.
That's right. Then comes the fun. You know, it's like, well, what do you do next? And then you got to go through all that. But, you know, really and truly, there are so many people out here that want to be part of being an author or being a reader, and they don't have any other way to learn about the books that are out there. And so that's why I'm so grateful for Casey to offer to be on our show, because there are millions of listeners around the world that would love to know where to find the next sci-fi, fantasy, or whatever book. And unless we're here, they just don't know.
Yeah.
And I really feel I'm so grateful you're here. I didn't know you were going to be on. I actually am so happy that I would have put your book. Now, your book, is it, where can we buy it?
What was that again?
Where can we buy your book?
You can buy it at all the traditional online venues like Amazon and Barnes & Noble.
Okay.
Plus, it's available at through order at brick and mortar stores, and it might even be on the shelves at some brick-and-mortar stores. So it's available pretty much anywhere you look.
Okay, so what would you suggest for authors that are listening that would like to get their book out there? What do they actually need to do? What would you tell them?
Well, just like anything else in life, you just have to be persistent and you cannot give up. I have quite a collection of rejection letters, you can't let it discourage you. One person may not care much for your work.
Mm-hmm.
Next person may love it. So you just have to be aware. Some editors or publishers or agents are looking for a certain certain kind of project or a certain kind of writing, and maybe what you have to offer isn't what they're looking for. But the next the next person you send it to, hey, it's just what they're looking for. So persistence is the main quality, and then I'd say luck is the rest. So,
and what it oh luck.
Luck. A little bit of talent, but
a little bit of talent. So really and truly, you think that most authors out there wannabe that you would tell them if somebody rejects them, forget it, just go on to the next.
Yeah, you just if it depends on the rejection. If it's a form letter, then just file it away and keep going. If you are lucky enough to get a rejection where an editor or publisher offers you some advice. I would suggest seriously looking at what they have to say. You know, don't just dismiss it outright. Because I had quite a few editors and publishers give suggestions, and I found that when I followed their suggestions, my writing became a lot stronger as a result. So you don't necessarily just want to dismiss it, outright.
So what is your next book?
I'm working on a sequel to Nogglestones. Just kind of picks up where this first book leaves off. I actually have several books planned in a series. So,
John, did you? I want to ask my co-host, John Ricks. Do you have anything you'd like to ask? Or
sure. Hey, Will. I'm looking forward to reading your book myself. A mad goblin scholar. I just love goblins.
Yeah, great. That's the main character is a goblin, so.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. You can also buy your book on the Daily Swan Publishing website, dailyswanpublishing.com.
Yes, definitely. It is available there.
Yeah, because, a lot of times people could think that they can't go to their local bookstores anymore. Everything is online, and actually it is. But Amazon.com is not the only place.
Yes, there are a lot of other places that offer it too. So, in fact, it was even an archery supplier who was carrying it, Three Rivers Archery, so you can get it there too. So,
okay, well that's great. And so, when you're looking around and all the people around you, would you say about how many people are on the convention floor right now?
I didn't catch that. What'd you say?
How many people are actually around you, like on the convention floor? Is it thousands?
I come from a small town, so I'm kind of overwhelmed. There's a lot here.
There's a lot. That's what I thought.
Yeah, there are a lot of people. It's a huge event.
Well, I think I would love to read your book. I'm looking forward to it, and I want to tell you thank you for being on the show, and maybe we'll bring Casey back up, and he will bring on the next author.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, John. Hello, Casey.
Hello, Judy. Are we back?
We're back.
Okay. Well, next up, you've got a chance to talk to Will, and Nogglestones has been a recommended book by Midpoint and a few other toward high schools and libraries, middle school up in libraries. But now up, I have our newest author. In fact, she's going to be signing her contract with us this evening at 5 o'clock. And this is Celia Forte. She wrote a book about basically from her description. She's got to describe it to you, Judy. I'm not sure how to describe it myself.
No problem.
But here's Cecile.
All right. Hi, Cecile. How
Hi,
are
Judy.
You?
Hi, Judy. How are you?
Welcome. I'm fine. I'm so
oh,
happy
I'm
to
glad.
Have you. So,
I just have to move from one place to another. I'm sorry, Judy.
Uh-huh.
I appreciate the fact that I'm on your show, and what I'd like to tell you about, my husband made a man out of me, and I resent it. Really grew out of some personal experience. However, it is not a rant against men as much as it is really a tome to them, a tribute to them, because the men who marry or partner or live with women, and we're not just talking about marriage, that's why I'm mm-hmm. making that point, really are very often men who love them, who are gentle, not gentle men, but a gentle, kind men, who give a woman a wide berth and who help her to accomplish the things that she wants to do in the very best environment and the very best relationships. And so what I'm trying to do in the book is to get involved with women and talk about this kind of man and talk about the fact that very often they are attracted to them, but they don't appreciate them until sometimes later in life. When they're, you know, go-getters and young and going
right.
about everything they want is one thing. But as time goes on, if they stay together, it becomes a different story.
So, again, what is the name of your book?
My Husband Made a Man Out of Me, and I Resent It.
That's got to be the best title I've ever heard. So where can we find your book?
Well, it's not going to be published until February and available.
Okay.
Right now we're finishing the research for it. Now research comes in the form of cafe conversations. It is not just my story. It begins with that. But then we move on to other women's stories, which they share with us, and we give them anonymity. But it gives us an opportunity to really have women tell us about it. Most things about strong women are out there. But there's
mm-hmm.
nothing yet that's talked about the men who love them and what they do in terms of helping these women make their achievements. And that's what I want to get at.
Now, how did you find Daily Swan?
I'm sorry, what did you say?
I'm sorry, how did you get with Daily Swan Publisher?
By good fortune, by very good fortune. The young woman who does the publicity for me
mm-hmm.
has sent authors to Daily Swan, and she spoke to me at length about them, and I was interested in what they could do for me specific to where I was, a nonfiction book done in this way. And it fit like a glove, and I met them and fell in love with both of them and
mm-hmm.
the owners. And I'm trusting them with this book, knowing that we're going to do very well.
Wow. John, do you have any questions?
Oh, yeah. Just welcome aboard Daily Swan Publishing. It's
yeah.
a good place in case he's a good man.
Yeah.
But I like the idea of your book. My husband made a man out of me, and I resent it. I remember, remember getting my wife to where she had everything she needed to be able to leave me. So I understand that fully.
Wait a minute, John. Tell us more.
I've had men participate as well because I want to know their stories.
Yeah.
And they've been very open and quite honest. And men love their women. You know, you hear all sorts of things. Yes, people
sure.
do cheat and all that.
Sure.
But men who love their women is a gift, because they really give you exactly what you need. For example, I'm an arrogant know-it-all, go-getter, impassioned, you know, pushed by the woman's movement, wanted that glass ceiling, you know, shattered and all that stuff. And I used to give my husband a hard time. And I would say to him, well, I'm independent. I really don't need you. I'm self-sufficient. I can do what I want.
Yeah.
And he would take that and still make life good for me. And it wasn't because he was a saint. He knew me better than I knew myself. And then we've been together almost 40 years. And now, he's wonderful. So it was worth it. It was absolutely worth it. The long and short of it is, I appreciate him and love him even more because I've matured into our relationship and realized what a gift he is.
Wow. 40 years. I'm just going, whoa. No way.
I met him when I was 16 and just never left.
16? No way. You never left. Wow.
No.
I have never heard of this in my life.
You got to meet him. You have to meet him. He is just so incredible, Judy. He's an unusual man.
Unusual.
You know, yeah, humble, you know, not particularly, but yet strong in his way, very masculine in his way. He said to me when I was going to do the book something that I wouldn't repeat, but, you know, he said something that was very, you know, kind of disparaging.
Right.
But the next morning he said to me, you think it'll sell? He's very practical. Very practical.
But he knew
wonderful.
You. Wonderful. Yeah. He's like your soulmate. He knew what you were here for, to sell books.
Yes, but he's going to reap the benefit. He sees, you know, there's going to be some money involved, and maybe I'll buy him that 911 that he'd like. So, you know, he's good. We love each other because we laugh at each other.
It's
my husband tells corny jokes. What can I tell you?
Yeah. You know... Amazing. What are you looking at? You're there on the convention floor. Can you give us kind of a overview of what's going by you? Who is? What's going on?
You mean in terms of the book?
No. Well, actually, the convention. You're standing at Casey Swanson's booth, right?
Yes, yes. And all around us in this BEA, which is Book
Right.
Expo America.
America.
I'm looking at Harlequin. I'm looking at Tristan Publishing, Wholesale Christian. I mean, they're all over. Javits Center, as you may know, is enormous. And there's so much activity. So many people participating. It's just wonderful. And we're meeting so many people in our booth. As a matter of fact, there's a standing line. So we're really very happy.
You know, the thing I heard was that some of the people couldn't get on the air live. I guess there's some kind of booth or something where the press goes, and they couldn't get outside. Mm-hmm. You know, they had to like pre-record all the interviews, and so I'm going, what is that?
Well, we got very lucky, and the luck is that we were able to talk to you. And it talks to you right here, you know, right now. We're live.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's really been a pleasure. Casey's looking at me like he would like to get back on the phone with you.
Let me have Casey. Thank you.
Okay. And thank you so much. I appreciate the opportunity.
All right. Bye-bye.
Hi, Judy.
Hey, Casey.
So I'm going to put you with Shemaine that you've spoken with before to wrap up, because Jess has motioned me over to her booth. Well, William Beecher for the third time today, round of books on his book signing.
Absolutely.
But I'm going to give you Shemaine to wrap up the show.
And what happened to Paula Tupman?
Paula, since she'd been on the show before, she wanted to give their time to other authors.
But
she sold out of everything, too, here. It was great.
All right.
But let me give you Shemaine because I got to run.
All right.
Okay. Judy?
Hey, Shemaine.
How are you? How's it going on, honey?
It's going great. I'm so happy to hear from you. I am really excited that we are live. There was a group of like bloggers and stuff that they wrote that they couldn't get on live, and I called Casey and I went, Casey, what's going on? And he said, don't worry. But so what's going on around you? Kind of give us a live interview. Let us know what you're seeing.
Well, right now, you know, it's like it's the end of the day here, but people are still busy moving around and milling around. Everybody's got their big tote bags, so that's fun.
Oh.
And, you know, what's happened is that you start off the beginning of the morning, like, fantastic. You're light-footed. Everything's fantastic. You don't have anything. And by the end of the day, you are weighed down with more books than you know what to do with yourself. So right now, seeing bunches of people off by with big tote bags just laden with books.
That's
They can hardly stand it. And they keep looking at other books, and they kind of look at them as and say, can I carry just one more? And it's like, oh, God, could I carry it? And then they carry it, and they can't. And right now, Daily Swan is having a fantastic time here. We have a booth happening here. The booth is surrounded by people right this minute who are getting their books autographed by Will Radcliffe at this point.
Oh, okay.
And Cecile is working the room here, too, and people are talking to her about her upcoming project, and they're looking at all the books here. I mean, it's great. It really is. Everybody, it's a kind of a little bit of a laid-back vibe because, you know, everybody's had lunch, and so you're kind of coming down on that carbohydrate thing.
Yeah.
So we're just doing our, so they're all kind of relaxing at this point. But it's a great vibe here. I really wish you were here to kind of see all this stuff. It's almost more than you can even stand.
You know, Shamin, we had Ken Tucker, who you actually got on our show the other night.
Uh-huh.
And he is absolutely phenomenal. Is he there on, is he going to be on the show or not tomorrow?
I believe Ken had to get back because Ken is traveling with the book right now. So he was here for yesterday. He was here for Friday and Saturday to be here. So he had a really successful signing yesterday, and and he was in the main autographing session here today. And he ran out of all his books. He started at 2 o'clock. He was out of every book by 2:15.
No way. That guy
minutes,
is
no
unreal.
Oh, yeah, he's great. He is so fabulous.
He
got such great energy.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I took notes during my show. I said, wait a minute, what kind of people do I need in my life? And I was just jostled. You know, I was writing them down, and I thought, wait a minute, go on, keep going. He is great. Ken Tucker.
Oh, yeah, he is. He is great.
And, you know, actually, our co-host, who has had not much to actually say, is John Ricks, science fiction author of Freddie Anderson Chronicles. And that is coming up. John, would you like to give us just a bit about your book?
Well, Freddie Anderson Chronicles is a book about a young man who is kidnapped by aliens.
Whoa.
And they're trying to figure out exactly, they're extracting from his mind information that will help them understand how humans destroyed their greatest warship and then how to annihilate the entire human race with that information. So, it's funny because the aliens are kind of almost like the Three Stooges. They're a very colorful group.
Whoa. Okay, I'm looking forward to that. Get rid of all of the human race. Well, you know, okay, John, now, when is your book coming out?
Mine should be out in September. We just finished the most of the cover. We're working on the spine art right now.
Okay.
A wonderful artist called Jose Parada, who is doing the art for me from Moon Vision Studios. So everything's coming along really well.
Great.
That's always nice when the planets align for your book and puts everything together. You know, everything kind of comes together. That's always nice.
Yeah, it all fits in. Well, you know, Shamin, I want to tell you thank you, and I'm going to actually tell Casey goodbye, and we will talk to you all tomorrow. I don't know
fantastic.
Who he plans to have on, but I'm looking forward to it. I know that. I was looking at William Beecher, the Acorn Dossier.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, this guy
is a
Pulitzer Prize winner. Woo!
I know. Pulitzer Prize winner. And, I mean, he's actually sold. All his books are gone, too. And he's, I think he was calling it an evening coming up here because he's like, okay, you know, and we've worked this room. And he has worked the room. Everybody's worked the room here. I've got to tell you, I have to say this about Daily Swan for sure, is that you've never met such a group of proactive authors that have worked together as a family. Everybody stayed there for everyone's offer signing in the book and their booth and what have you, and helped to bring people to the booth to get signings, get them interested in other books, and not only the author that was signing, the other books that were there. So it's really a cooperative.
And you know what? I want to know, Casey's kind of big, right? I told you he was tall. He was big.
He's a tall guy, yeah.
That's right, Shameen. Shameen has actually been a guest on the show. And, you know, tell people more about yourself and your weddings and what you do, Shameen.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I call myself kind of the big girl advocate, if you will. The average girl advocate, if you will. But the first book that I've done was Down That Island Style, A Wedding Guide for Full-Figured Women. That was by Wind River Publishing. And that was in response to the fact that, you know, I was born big, okay? I came in at almost 9 pounds in the world, and I spent my whole life trying to outrun being a big girl until I learned the hard way through two kind of catastrophic illnesses. I'm a 14-year survivor of uterine cancer, and I've been living with multiple sclerosis for the last 13 years, and it has taught me that I should just be more focused on the fact that I can be a great person, feel good about myself, feel like I've got something to contribute to the world that has something more to do with my size in terms of what's the scale say or what the tag number at the back of my pants say. You know, I can't let myself be ruled by that. And so as a result of kind of being that kind of crazy wedding person that naturally makes me some kind of a romantic, which is weird to some extent, because, you know, I'm divorced, so it's hysterical. But how can I be a romantic? But I guess we are all a little bit of antithesis in our own lives.
Well, you know, Shameen, one thing I really feel about you is you're real. You've been through it. You've been there. You've walked the shoes. You're still walking the shoes. And whenever Shameen says she's going to do something, she does it. And all I can say is thank you. I enjoyed you today, and I hope our audience did. And hope you'll be there. Are you going to be there tomorrow?
In actuality, I won't be here tomorrow. I came for the Saturday because it's going to be an interesting my romance publisher, Genesis Press, which is with Kensington, didn't have a booth here. Normally, I would have been here for the 3 days, but I said I just came for today, and I really wanted to come here to support Casey and to be here with everybody and support the authors that I have here as an agent, because I'm an agent. I work the other end of this, too.
Absolutely.
So I'm here to support my authors to make sure that they get out there, and I'm here to clap and to cheer them on and what have you. And even though I am so ready to be at the end of the day here, I just is like that. But I'm happy to have been here, really.
Give your website so we can all.
Oh, sure. If they want to check out my books, it's www.shameen.com. That's C-H-A-M is in Mary, E is in Ellen, I is in Inez, N is in Nancy.com. You can also see my wedding book is at WindRiverPublishing.com.
Mm-hmm.
And the romance novels, Not His Type, Bliss Incorporated, The More Things Change, and my latest one that's coming out in September, Waiting for Mr. Darcy, where I embrace my inner Jane geek. My inner Jane Austen geek, because I'm a Jane Austen geek.
Oh, okay.
So it comes out in September, and you can see that's on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and also on Genesis-Press.com. And you can get them in the bookstores as well, so it's cool.
Great. Thank you. And I'm going to tell Casey, hello, Casey.
Well, I will tell him. He's working his booth right now.
Oh, is
very hard. So he wanted me to he said, well, I'm going to have you wrap it up, Shameen, since you're there, because I've got to get back stuff there. So I said, okay, I'm going to wrap it up.
All right. Well, you wrap it up, and we will talk to Casey tomorrow.
Yes, he'll be here to talk to you, and he's got more good stuff tomorrow. So people should tune in to your show every time it's on, not just for the BEA, but tune in to Joy, because she's fantastic.
Thank you, Shane.
I must agree.
And so are you. And thank you, John. And, John, I want you to tell us your book one more time.
Well, the book is Freddie Anderson Chronicles. The first book in it is called Freddie Anderson's Home. It's about a super genius that can do all different kinds of things, especially using his mind. He's a scientist, and he invents things. And though at the start of the book he's very, very young, he's kidnapped by aliens because they're trying to figure out how he destroyed their main warship, which is hidden and looking like something else. So they want to know how they can do that, and they're upset with us, and they want to get rid of the world.
Whoa, that is a book. Now, you know, John, I have to ask you, were your parents actually authors?
Oh, no, my father was a auto mechanic, and my mother was an accountant.
No way.
Oh, there must be something to that accountant thing, because my dad's an accountant, too.
No way, Shami.
Yeah.
You know, now, wait a minute. You're not going to believe it. My father, too.
Oh, really?
I mean, it must be something about the number of people that give birth to the word people.
I have no idea, but that just blew my mind because my dad, he lived by numbers. He could not understand why I couldn't get algebra. I tried.
Oh, yeah.
I tried.
Oh, yes, 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 yes. I'm with you on that. I did take accounting. I took accounting 101 and accounting 2 only because, one, my father, I went into business. And after that, I had a whole new respect for my father and what he does. Because I told him I needed to have bought stock in Tylenol for that class, those two classes. I shoved Tylenol down my face. I had the worst headaches in my life going through that.
You know, well, we're all what we are, and I think we're all perfect. Just as we are. And
Absolutely.
Thank you, Shamim. Thank you, Casey. And thank you, John. And we will talk to Casey Swanson tomorrow from the floor of the Book Expo, right?
Absolutely. He's going to be here to talk to, and I'm going to close it out now because I'm going to hobble over to the back to the booth.
All right, Shami. And John, thank you so much, and I'll look forward to having you on the air tomorrow.
Well, thank you, Judy. I look forward to it also.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.